Growing a deeply rooted faith takes time and work, but it's not only about what we do, but also what we don't do. In this video, I'm sharing three things other than sin that you must give up if you seriously want to grow your faith. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beloved Women with me, Christina Patterson, where we empower women in the love of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. If you are new here, welcome. Please be sure to subscribe so that you never miss a video. And for those of you returning, welcome back. For daily encouragement, weekly Bible study with me, and unlimited videos to grow your faith, I invite you to join the Beloved Women app. Currently in the app, we are studying the book of Esther together, chapter by chapter, and I would love for you to join me and all your beloved sisters around the world as we learn how to see and trust in God's promise, providence, and purpose in all situations. Have you ever heard someone use the term grandma faith? This refers to the larger-than-life faith that we often see in some of our grandmothers who seem to have this deeply rooted, unmovable, unshakable faith that, when compared to ours, our grandmother's faith just seems gigantic. And we can almost start to feel like that type of faith is only reserved for certain types of Christians, but not for us. In today's video, I want to share with you that yes, although the Bible does reveal that there are levels of faith, growing a greater or grandma type of faith is possible for anyone. However, it's not only about what you do as you walk out your relationship with God, but also what you intentionally choose not to do. As we look at three powerful statements from Jesus in the Bible about faith, we'll see that the Bible clearly outlines for us three things that stifle, oppress, and diminish any faith that we have. In this video, you'll learn how the Bible describes the levels of faith that we each have, the responsibility we all have when it comes to the level of faith that has been entrusted to us, and the three things we must stop doing if we want to supercharge and grow our faith in God. But first, I want to share a common misconception that many believers have about faith, and that is the belief that you either have faith or you don't have it at all. It's black or white, yes or no. If we take a closer look at the scriptures, however, we'll see that when it comes to faith, there are levels. Throughout the New Testament, we'll hear Jesus describe people's faith as great or small. We're told in Matthew 17, verse 20, that if we have the faith the size of a small mustard seed, we can move mountains. Romans 12, verse 3 explains that we should properly view ourselves by the measure of faith that has been given to us. Maybe you've even experienced this in your own life, where you've seen your faith grow over the years and over the course of your relationship with God. Where maybe 10 years ago, you really struggled to trust God in a certain area of your life, but now you have so much peace in that same area because your faith has grown. I know for me personally, I've seen the Lord grow my faith over the years when it's come to giving. When I was younger, I struggled with the idea of tithing because I felt like we don't have that much. But as I continued to take steps of faith, even small ones, and saw God move in that area when I trusted Him, it grew my faith. And now when God tells me to give something, I just go ahead and do it because my faith has dramatically grown in that area. The Bible even tells us that when it comes to our faith, it's our responsibility to ensure that we're adding to our faith and that we're growing in our faith. When Jesus tells us that faith the size of a mustard seed has the power to move mountains, it's because within the mustard seed is the potential for it to grow into a very large tree. As believers, it's our responsibility to ensure that our faith is both growing and maturing. However, we all know that growing our faith is not easy when we're constantly encouraged to rely on ourselves more than God, when we're encouraged to indulge in the flesh instead of worshiping God, and when we're tempted with sin as opposed to choosing life in Christ. It's then that our faith actually shrinks. But did you know that there are certain mindsets that also hurt our faith's ability to grow? As I've studied the scriptures, I realized that Jesus had a lot to say about people's faith. It was always something that seemed to really grasp his attention, either exciting him when someone had great faith, as he would call it, or frustrating or even saddening him to the point of tears even when he saw how little faith people had. It's important to God that our faith is growing because faith is what unlocks God's power in our lives. Jesus couldn't even perform many miracles in his hometown because of the lack of faith in that area. We have to realize that there are certain things that will diminish the faith that we do have. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about the dangers of worry. I often read this entire chapter when I'm feeling anxious, and I have a Bible study about it that I'll link in the description of this video. But in this chapter, Jesus reveals that not only is worry ineffective, it is also a serious hindrance to our faith. In verse 30, he says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus is making the case that it is an immature faith that would cause us to think that God would not take care of us. If God takes care of the grass, why wouldn't he take care of you? Now, this makes logical sense. So why do we worry? Mainly because we can't see God. Whenever we're in a scenario where we believe that if we can't see God is moving or feel him, we think that means that he's not taking care of business, we'll often find ourselves worried and anxious. But when we can't believe God to take care of it, then we usually put the responsibility on ourselves to do it. And so our focus then turns from what we can see and what we can do in our own strength, which will not lead to a growing faith, because faith is believing in what you can't see. But what I love about Jesus's encouragement in Matthew 6 is that he points to what we can see, the grass of the field, to prove what we can't see, that God is taking care of us. When worry overwhelms us, we have an opportunity to grow our faith by choosing to believe what we can't see. But if we need a little help, we can choose to see God in what he's already done as evidence for what we can believe he will do. This is why in Philippians 4 verse 6, we're called to pray instead of worry. But it's not just any type of prayer. It's a prayer of thanksgiving that is required to combat worry. Thanksgiving helps us to see what God has already done to grow our faith in what he will do. The opposite of worry is godly expectation. Worry expects the worst to happen. Godly expectation anticipates God to move and trusts that the moves that he makes are for our good and his glory. It's not only our worry that prevents our faith from growing. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus and the disciples are on a boat in the middle of the sea when a great storm arises and the waves start to sweep over the boat. The disciples woke Jesus, who was asleep at the bottom of the boat, and asked Jesus to save them. Jesus' response reveals the second threat to our faith. In verse 26, Jesus says, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Fear will stifle your faith. Hundreds of times throughout the Bible, God tells us, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear." But in almost every instance where God gives the command not to fear, it is followed with the promise of his presence. Jesus challenged the disciples' fear on the boat in spite of the storm because he was with them. As we see God greater than our storms, we'll not only have peace and calm in the midst of the storm, but our faith will grow as well. Now, apparently, Jesus had a lot of lessons to teach the disciples on a boat in the middle of a storm, because the next challenge to growing our faith is also seen in a storm as well. In Matthew chapter 14, the disciples are again on a boat, and in the distance, they see Jesus walking towards them. At first, they are terrified and they think that it's a ghost, but then Jesus reassures them that it's him. Peter says, "If it's really you, Lord, then call me out." Jesus says, "Come," and Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk on water as well. Then the Bible tells us that Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and when he saw the wind around him, he started to sink. Jesus immediately reaches out and takes hold of Peter to save him from sinking. And in verse 31, he says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" The thing about doubt that is very tricky is that there's some belief, but there's also mixed in some skepticism as well. It's almost like straddling a fence. Part of you believes God, but part of you also doesn't believe God. James 1 verse 6 compares someone who doubts to a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. The moment the wind blows left, you move left. the other moment the wind blows right and you move right as well. The verse reads, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." Now this was Peter, moved by the wind and not by his God. This is us, moved by popular opinion, comfort, what's trending, what may or may not get us canceled, the opinions of others, and all things that change constantly, instead of being unmovable by our faith in the one true, unchanging God. Think of it this way. When you plant a seed and it starts to grow roots into the ground, the last thing that you want to do is uproot it and plant it somewhere else, and then uproot it again and plant it somewhere else, and then uproot it again and plant it somewhere else. By doing so, the plant never gets deeply rooted into the ground so that when storms come and wind and rain comes, it will be unmovable. Our faith is much the same. If we're constantly uprooting our faith to put it in this thing, and then we put our faith in this thing, and then we put our faith somewhere else, it never grows deep in the truth of God. Then when storms come, when waves rise, when rain falls, we will be easily shaken if we are not deeply rooted. But when we stand 10 toes down firm in our trust, belief, and faith in God no matter what, when we choose to believe what God says doesn't change just because the culture changes, when we choose to still have godly expectation in what God has and will do, our faith not only matures, but it grows deeply into the truth of God so that we too can be unmovable. If we want to grow our faith, we need to intentionally and actively make sure that we are not entertaining worry, fear, or doubt. I know that that is not an easy thing to do, but because of the true, unchanging, and faithful God that we serve, it is possible. We feel afraid, worried, and doubtful at times, many times, but it's important to both honor our feelings while not being led by them. So I invite you to watch this video where I share practical biblical steps to live by faith over feelings. And for more encouragement, be sure to download my free Bible study called Worry Free to learn the three lies feeding your worry and the truth that will set you free at belovedwomen.org. Thank you so much for watching today. And until next time, be beautiful, be blessed, and be loved.